Nearly a half century ago, on New Year's Day, a newly elected president looked forward to the chance to create a permanent legacy after a lifetime of public service and an almost ruthless pursuit of political power. Lyndon Johnson won an election in 1964 that paved the way for the legislative victories on civil rights and the Great Society in 1965. It was a moment of electoral success that pointed to political change, not unlike the moment facing President Barack Obama in 2013. We continue now with part two of a conversation we began yesterday with historian and author Robert Caro, whose latest volume of his epic biography of Lyndon Johnson, Passage of Power, leaves us right at the moment when LBJ is looking ahead to the new year of 1965, when it seems he had all the levers of power and all the momentum of history on his side.
You know, 65, which is in the book I'm writing now, you see two things are happening sort of simultaneously, literally sometimes in the very same week. He passes Medicare. He flies to have Harry Truman, President Truman, sign the bill because Truman always wanted health insurance bill. That very moment, the last planning for the first big escalation of the Vietnam War is going forward. Johnson's career is always very hard to write about him, John, because he's a man of such immense, vivid contrast. One moment he can be unbelievably cruel and selfish. The next moment he can do something quite wonderful. And you really have to, it's hard to write this last book because you have to show this man who domestically is racking up one great achievement after the other. And at the very same time, he set in motion this thing, this war in Vietnam that's going to basically swallow that up. So these two things are going forward together, and in a way, they're the two sides of Lyndon Johnson's character.
Lyndon Johnson, supremely confident on his notion of how Congress works and on how American social justice will be achieved.
Yeah.
A man supremely unconfident about being the master of the generals, the military-industrial complex, the security establishment. Those people end up telling him what to do, and in a way, his leadership falters.
Vietnam is one of the great tragic mistakes. The escalation of the Vietnam War is one of the great tragic mistakes in American history. You know, if you look at America in 1964, and you look at America when he's elected to the presidency, you look at America at the end of 1968 when he leaves the presidency, you say it's a different country. The 60s happened. The student rebellion happens. All the unhappiness and unrest, the distrust of the presidency, the credibility gap, it all happens in those years.
When Barack Obama looks ahead at this moment of electoral victory, admittedly without the contradictions that Johnson has, or apparently without the contradictions that Johnson has, what are the pitfalls for a president having to juggle a national security agenda and a very important domestic social agenda, both of which are crucially important right now?
Well, what you really feel, you know, one of the things that I try to show in the Passage of Power is how when Johnson comes in, and of course any president faces it every day, the problems never stop. One moment there's a problem in the Middle East, the next there's a problem with the economy, the next minute there's something with the war. And each time the president has to make a decision, you feel the incredible tensions coming in that they really never stop. He knows he has to get his hands on all these things at once and take control of them. He does it like a master.
You know, there's a moment in this book where Johnson is really happy. He has this state dinner down in Texas for his German counterpart. He decides to do something with a Johnson stamp on it and have a Texas barbecue state dinner in Texas.
Right.
It's an extraordinary scene where Johnson really seems to be happy. What would it have been like if I was there?
You would see there's never been anything like it. You know, the Kennedys had candlelit dinners at the White House, moonlit dinners down the Potomac on the presidential yacht. Johnson decides to host the German Chancellor Ludwig Erhard in a gym, a high school gym in Stonewall, Texas, which is just like a wide spot in the road. All the diplomats in their blue suits and their black shoes are eating barbecue off heaping plates. cowgirl band is singing. There's square dancing.
And Van Cliburn. Van Cliburn plays the piano.
Van Cliburn plays the piano on this high school stage. When you look at pictures, it looks like the piano is so big that it's actually bowing the floor of the stage down. And behind them is a fence with ropes on it, you know, and bales of hay. And it's a triumph. Ludwig Erhard, the German chancellor, is so happy. You see pictures of him and you see Lyndon Johnson, as you seldom are going to see him in the next years, completely happy, tall, handsome, tanned, confident. He's in his own setting. He's put his own stamp on the presidency. It's really, to watch the newsreels of this thing, they're unforgettable. This whole 2 weeks down at the ranch at Christmas 1964, after he's had these triumphs, initial triumphs over Congress, he has a press conference. He finishes the press conference, jumps on a horse, and rides off, you know. So it's like the perfect picture of the president on a big horse riding off into the sunset. This is Lyndon Johnson at home. And when he's at home and confident, you see, this is the great, could have been, the great master of the presidency.
Is that an argument for Obama, who also has a culture, a sort of upbringing, a sense of America to show to the rest of the world? Is that an argument for him to be maybe more vulnerable, more open about who he really is, to get up on that horse, to have the guts to maybe have the barbecue or whatever it would be, the equivalent?
I don't really know President Obama, you know, that well. I think he has the mere fact of his election, if I can put it this way. He is, in a way, Lyndon Johnson's legacy. Lyndon, in 1965, only 11% of the eligible black voters in the United States cast ballots because they, in the South, they are prevented by all these voter registration tactics. Lyndon Johnson says basically to his aides, if we give black people the vote, they can do the rest themselves. We're giving them power. And he passes the Voting Rights Act. Now, that's in 1965. To watch him get this through, it's like a legislative miracle. That's 1965. In 2008, America elects a black president. That's only 43 years. Mm-hmm. It's a blink of history's eye. So you say, in one blink, Lyndon Johnson passes the act empowering black voters. The next instant, we have a black president. I look at Barack Obama. His very election is a tribute to American democracy.
Robert Caro, author of The Passage of Power, The Years of Lyndon Johnson.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.